Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open our eyes and open our ears, not just those of our minds, but those of our spirits and our hearts, that we could understand truly what you have to say, that we could take something today that would encourage us and that would bless us, and that would draw us closer to you and give us energy for the next step in our journey, Lord. That we could leave here one step closer to you, one step nearer to home. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, well, I told you that I was going to do a series of Bible studies on the women of the Bible. Unless something happened and I thought that the Lord was leading me into another place. And so this happened. For this service, we are going to look at something different in the Bible. We are going to look at a little thought of a high-octane religion. Okay, a high-octane religion. And to start, if you join me on your for the reading of the word by standing, and we'll turn to the first chapter of the book of Acts. And so forgive me, everyone who was wanting another. We'll get to the other. What's that? Thank you. Sister Lenore at least forgives me, so that's a wonderful thing. All right. And just one verse, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. May the Lord bless his word. You may take your seats. And so the word of God does not come randomly into the world. It comes with a purpose into the world. It comes with a purpose to bring power into the world, and power is the ability to do something, and we should be doing things for God as he has given us the power to do things for God. Okay? And a lot of people, well, octane rating. What is the octane rating? Well, 87 is the cheap one. Up to 92 or maybe 97 is the expensive one. But what difference does it actually make to your car? Okay? Does anyone actually know that? Looking at you, Brother David. You didn't know? Not going to say anything? Okay. So, you know Brother Peach, don't you? You don't know? Burns cleaner. That's a good way of putting it. Okay? So, to do this, we're going to do a little bit of science. Okay, science is knowledge, and knowledge on its own isn't a bad thing. And we're going to basically go into a car, and we just bought an electric car, but every car that has a gas-powered engine, okay, has cylinders in it, and the cylinders look something like this. Okay, there's a gap at the top, and at the top, that's where your spark plug goes into the cylinder, and there's a little space where it sparks. And then there's a piston that looks something like this, and that is connected to the crankshaft, and then you have other pistons, okay? Is this familiar to anyone? All right, you're all following me. Now, what happens is, we'll just put a little, there's an entry port and an exit port, okay? And when the cylinder is at the bottom like that, in goes the fuel air mix, that's petrol and air, and that goes into the cylinder. And then we'll just draw it over here. As the engine spins around, let's draw a little spark plug and a little entry and exit. As the engine spins around, that piston compresses, it pushes the air and the fuel together, and it compresses it, okay? And when it gets to the top of its, when it's as most compressed as it's going to get, the spark plug fires. This is all if your engine is working good, you know? Okay? Your timing belt hasn't broken or anything like that. Your spark plug fires, and that makes a little explosion in here that pushes the cylinder down. Okay, when it goes down, then the exhaust, the gases that from the explosion exit the other side, new fuel comes in, and on it goes. So you can have a two-cylinder car, you can have a four-cylinder car, vroom, vroom, yeah, that's right. So, okay, now, what's this got to do with octane? Okay, well, here's the thing. In the early days when they invented petrol and petrol engines, and they had a problem where sometimes the engine would knock. How many know what engine knocking is? Yeah. Yeah, all the older people know what engine knocking is, because you younger folks, you're living in the age of high-octane fuels and well-engineered cars. Okay? But engine knocking is if the fuel explodes before it should. Okay? If the fuel explodes before it should, then instead of the piston being right at the top, it explodes prematurely, and it just, bam, it hits the engine, and it sounds really bad, and it damages the engine, and you don't get the power that you need out of the engine. Okay? All right, so your octane number is a measure of how resistant your fuel is to premature explosion. It's not a measure of how powerful your fuel is. It's not a measure of, it's just a measure of how good it is at exploding at the right time. Okay? So, if you get zero octane fuel, you just put in, you start compressing, and bang, it's going to explode, and then bang, your engine blows to bits, and your car doesn't go very far. All right? But if you have a super duper sports car, we all know Michael Morrison is super duper sports cars, okay? You have to put in high octane fuel, because the tolerances in that, you have to have the explosion at just the right time, so you need a fuel that isn't going to explode prematurely. You understand what I'm saying? This is what octane is, or your octane number is a measure of how much pressure your fuel can go under before exploding prematurely. All right, So the Word of God powers our lives, or is meant to power our lives, right? And we are built on the Word of God, and we're built to take the Word of God and, motivated by the Spirit of God, put it into action at the right time. But you see, not all of us are running on the right kind of octane fuel all the time. Okay? So we're going to look right at the beginning of the Bible. We're going to start and we're going to see a zero octane believer. Okay? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 4. And we'll look at a zero-octane believer. And you can tell he was a believer because he worshipped God. All right? And it came, and this is verse 3. It came to pass that in the process of time that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the first things of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect to Cain and his offering, and unto Cain, or Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? Now, there's an interesting thing that engineers do when they're designing an engine. Okay? Because an engine has to contain lots and lots of little explosions, and sometimes lots and lots of big explosions. Okay? Have you ever been on a jet plane? And you look out the window, and you see one of those big engines beside you, and it's whirling around at who knows how much, and you think, you know, if that exploded, I'd be in a lot of trouble because I'm sitting right beside it. Okay? And, well, I thought that a couple of times. I mean, but we have people like Brother David who keeps things running perfectly. But before it ever gets put on the engine, or the engine gets put on the plane, you know what engineers do? They do stress testing. Okay? Stress to destruction. So what they'll do is they'll take that jet engine or that car engine, and they will just run it for hours and hours and hours. They'll run it till it's red hot. They'll run it till it's white hot. They'll run it till it explodes. They'll enjoy doing that because they're engineers. Okay? And then what they'll do is they'll go through the wreckage and they'll be like, where did it explode? What failed first? How did it break apart? Okay? And then they're going to say, all right, what time did it break apart? How did it break apart? How can we make this piece better so it doesn't break apart? So they take that engine and they redesign maybe one or two pieces that broke apart first, and then they'll say, okay, let's try again. And they're going to put it back in the stress tester, and they're going to rev it, and they're going to run it white hot, and they're going to run it till it explodes again. And they're going to be like, interesting. I wonder what failed this time. And they're going to go in, they're going to find the next piece that failed, they're going to replace that until they've got something that passes all the tests, and then they put it in a jumbo jet, and you sit beside it, and you don't have to worry about it exploding, because it's been through all the stress tests. Okay. And God is kind of like that with us. He says, listen, I want you to be a high-octane engine. I want you to be a performance engine. I want to be able to put you and my Holy Spirit in you and know that when I press the accelerator, I'm going to get a nice smooth acceleration. When I press the brake, you're not going to carry on accelerating, that everything's going to... So before I'm going to put you in a stress test. Okay, and I'm going to just put a whole bunch of pressure on you, and I'm going to see what explodes. And when that explodes, then we know, okay, here's the part that we have to work on. All right? And this is what God was doing even to Cain. Even to Cain. And he put Cain in a pressure situation where he said, essentially, hey, nice try, not accepting it. But he didn't just say, nice try, I'm not accepting it. He said, nice try, I'm not accepting it. It's not acceptable. Try again. This isn't the end of the line for you. Your engine has exploded. It's in bits. But if you piece it back together and try again, I'll accept you. And Cain was a zero-octane Christian. The least bit of pressure, he was like, that's it. I'm done. I'm just going to kill my brother and shake my fist in your face. And even when you judge me for killing my brother, I'm going to tell you, you're wrong in judging me. Everyone's going to kill me. I'm going to get some kind of special mark from you that, well, anyway. Do you see how that is? Cain was a zero-octane believer. He had that belief. He looked for God. But under the least bit of pressure, he went to pieces. And he went to pieces in a way that he didn't even want to put the pieces back together and carry on working. Let's not be zero-octane Christians. Now, we looked at Sarah, and we looked at how she laughed at God and said, oh, this can't be. Well, she's an example of somebody that God put through different pressures, God put through different tests. So initially, she was like, oh, I'm going to have a son. Well, maybe it's Abraham's going to have the son. And God was like, what are you doing? I'm putting a test before you, and you're not trying to go through the test, you're trying to find a way around the test. Like, Abraham, take my maid. I'll have a child through her. She failed the test. Okay? But she didn't fail the test in a way that God said, okay, we're done. She followed Abraham. She followed God. And she went through the next stage. Okay? Living in faith with her mistake, and then God says it will be by Abraham, and she laughed. It's like, oh, you know it's going to be by you. You're laughing. You failed the test. Let's take you apart. Let's put you back together again. Let's stress test this a bit more. And what's the record? She passed. She did something. She had a body change experience. She was made young and beautiful again. And she had a child. Okay? Why? Because she was a high-octane believer. All right. She did misfire a few times. And God said, okay, that's good. You've misfired. Why is it good? Because it knows when the pressure time comes, we can already have things that we've fixed and that we've sorted out. And so when we really need to have that body change experience, yeah, you will be ready without a shred of doubt. And Sarah judged him faithful who had promised. And that's where we want to be. Not looking at our failures, not looking at our mistakes as I've failed, but looking at our mistakes as saying, this is God's opportunity. This is the place where God wants to meet me and change a little bit in here and change a little bit in there so I don't explode next time. Or at least so when I explode next time, it's not going to be the same thing. It will be something different that we need to sort out. Okay? So God tests us and tries us to find imperfections. And it's so interesting because you can look let's turn to Genesis chapter 37 because this is really interesting. Okay. Verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And so you see, here's Joseph, and he's doing the right thing, and he's being hated. But why? Because God had a plan for Joseph's life, and he said, I'm going to have to put you into some pretty stressful situations, so when the time comes that you have to save the whole world, you're going to be ready. No? And sometimes we find we get into stressful situations where we explode because we've done wrong things. Right? And we can say, oh Lord, I sinned, I went out and I did this, and then I see this happened in my life, and now I'm dealing with the consequences of my own bad behavior, and I'm exploding, and I just need your help to help me get... It's just entirely down to my errors and my sins that I'm in this situation. But that wasn't the case with Joseph. Okay? He was in that situation because God had a plan for him, and he said, I just need to stress test you. And Joseph said, what had I done wrong? I said, nothing. But you need to be thrown into this pit here and sold off as a slave by your brothers. Why, Lord? What did I do wrong? Is there no cause? It's like, yeah, there's a cause. I need someone to save the world. It's you. The path to do that goes into this pit. It's like, wow, that's pretty stressful. All right. And then he was sold as a slave in Egypt, and he rose and he worked hard, and then he was accused falsely. And God said, well, time for your next stress test. Time to rev up the engine. Like, what did I do wrong, Lord? Absolutely nothing. But I need you in the prison. I need you accused. I need you in fear of your life. I need you ready to die. I need to stress test you because I'm going to put you in a position. Like, sometimes, brothers and sisters, things will happen in your life where you explode and you're thinking, what did I do? What wrong did I do to that person? What wrong did I do to that company, to that family, to that they're blaming me and I'm in this terrible situation and it's just, it's not right. And and God says, nothing, you didn't do anything wrong. You're just in the stress test chamber. It's just your time. And like, boom, something pops, and you're like, oh, I'm so angry about this. And God says, well, that's good, because now we can work on that anger, we can change out a few bits, okay? And then we'll pop you back in, you know? And you're like, oh, it's all over. I didn't do anything wrong. Finally, the Lord, you know what? He showed me something about my temper, and I've prayed, and I've got it all under control. It's all under the blood. And the Lord says, okay, is that what you think? Time for another stress test. Let's pop you back into the chamber. Let's heat up the engine red hot. Let's make it white hot. Let's see how far we can go before something pops or explodes. Like, what did I do to deserve this? And like, nothing. I just need to stress test you right now because one day I'm going to put you ruling the world. And if I don't stress test you, you know, you're not going to be able to withstand the explosions, the fuel, the power that I put in you. Okay? Because Joseph had to be able to bear the power that God would deliver through him. And Moses is another one. We can follow the story of Moses from Exodus. Just a few verses here, and you know this one. 11. So here's the thing. All right, Moses is brought up, and he knows he's the deliverer. Why does he know that he's the deliverer? Well, because his mum's told him. Okay? Told him about the miracles. Told him why he's in the house of Pharaoh. Told him about his relationship with the Hebrews. With the slaves. Okay? Moses goes out and he says, I'll learn all the science of the Egyptians. I'll learn all the politics of the Egyptians. I'll learn all the fighting techniques of the Egyptians. And I will position myself, I will be the best built engine for delivering the children of Israel. And he went out and he built himself in his own power, in his own strength, according to his own understanding. And the thing is, the Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy path. And there's a reason why we shouldn't lean to our own understanding. It's because, there's a famous saying. It says, what does it say? We judge other people by what we assume their motives are. And we expect other people to judge us by what we know our motives were. Okay? So you say something and you do something, it's just the purest and cleanest of motives that you happen to get, you know, upset with somebody. They deserved it. You can just see the whole track of that. But they upset me because, well, they were just mean and vicious and angry and just trying to upset me, and they just did this and they did that, and you have no idea what goes on in their heart, what goes on in their mind. That's something that we have to mature into, to assume the best of people. Okay? But God, he knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end. You know, a decision made by God, I think this is wonderful. Any decision you make will have consequences unintended by you. There will be things about that decision that will have effects that you are like, oh, I didn't realize that it would have that effect. But there's no decision by God with unintended consequences. So if you want to make a decision with no unintended consequences, ask God for his decision. Because then you know it's all going to work out. But Moses comes along and he says, I'm ready to deliver them. And he says, when Moses was grown, he went out to his brethren, looked on their burdens, spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren, and he looked this way, and he looked that way. And when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Okay? The next day he had to face the unintended consequences of his decision. And he ran away from Egypt. And God said, okay, you are the engine that I'm going to use to deliver the children of Israel. But as soon as we put a little gas in your tank and fired you up to give you a test drive, you misfired so badly, you destroyed that whole engine. I'm going to need to come into the desert. Let's go and let's herd some sheep. Okay? Let's herd some sheep. And I heard a farmer say, sheep, don't go near them. They are the most annoying. They always want to be in someone else's field. They always want to go somewhere they don't want to go. They have a desire to kill themselves. They are suicidal. If there is a way for sheep to get his head or her head stuck in a fence, they will do it. If there is a way for a sheep to get into a field to get run over, they will do it. And I thought, my, all we like sheep have gone astray. And God says, out in the desert, go get some experience herding the dumbest, most stupid animals that we keep for clothing and for meat. Says, because I'm going to have you herding the dumbest, most stupid people, the children of Israel. Which is not to say the children of Israel are dumb and stupid. It's just the children of Israel are God's choice to represent all of us dumb, stupid humans. Okay? So all we like sheep have gone astray. So he says, Moses, you're not ready yet. Let's start rebuilding your engine by going out and spending 40 years following the sheep around. And Moses completely forgot about Egypt till God said, now's the time. Now I've rebuilt you. Now I'm going to test you. Now I'm going to fill you full with the fuel that you need to take my power down to Egypt and to deliver the children of Israel. Now is the time. And Moses, at that point, he was like, well, and sometimes we get this way. Don't be afraid of the leading of the Lord, because the leading of the Lord is the Lord telling you what to do because he has confidence in you. All right? And I really like this in chapter 4. Moses starts arguing. Okay? Who am I that I should go? Verse 10, it says, And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Are not I the Lord? Now go, therefore, I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou should say. And Moses said, O my Lord, I know you're the creator of heavens and earth. I know that you made the seeing eye and the hearing lip, the hearing ear, and I know you made all things and you created all things, and I know you know all things, that you are all powerful and wise in your choices. But with me, you made a mistake. Send somebody else. You see? Moses told God, yeah, you're all wise, you're all powerful, except when it comes to me, you made a mistake. Pick somebody else. And I wonder how much that affects our lives. When God is talking to us, and God is working through us, and God is wanting us to do something. I was speaking to a brother who said, well, I got this brother at work, and suddenly he's really interested in finding out things about Jesus, and he's starting to talk to me, and I wish there was a minister there that I could connect him to. It's like, well, hold on a second. You're telling me that at work, there's somebody coming up to you and asking about Jesus, and you're saying, oh, not me, I need somebody else to do this. It's like God put you there for that need. Don't shy away from it. Embrace what God has given to you, because he's tested you to this point and says, now I'm going to put some power in you, and let's go. Let's do that work. So whatever God puts on your heart to do, do it with all your heart, because he's chosen you and prepared you for this particular time, for this particular place. Don't be like Moses and say, I'll choose somebody else. Because that's another form of misfiring. That's another form of, you know, not the power not going where it needs to go. So Moses was in the wilderness. The engine was rebuilt. The fuel lines were replugged in. The spark plug was put. And I suppose you could say he got to a 99% octane rating. From that point on, he only misfired once. Okay, in the speak to the rock, and he smoked the rock. It's quite something. You know, Peter, in the New Testament, he was tested, and he misfired. He'd been built up in faith, and he said to Jesus, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm willing to die. Now, just remember, all the other disciples said the same thing. Okay? So we're not going to point Peter out as the biggest failure. Because of all the other disciples, at least he was the one, or one of the ones, that went in and followed Jesus and tried to get close to what was happening, to work out what was happening. Okay? But that closeness, and sometimes, you see, there's the pressure of the situation. The engine starts revving, the heat starts building. Is something going to fail? Okay? And he gets a little closer to where Jesus is, and the heat gets a little more intense, and he's by the fire warming himself. And they say to him, hey, weren't you with that guy in there? Weren't you with Jesus? And he misfires. No, I wasn't with Jesus. Okay? And he misfires again. And he curses and swears, and then the cock crows. Okay? And an engine that misfires, that an engine that knocks, will eventually break something and will not be usable. And that moment, it broke Peter. And he was like, I am so, I'm not worthy. Everything that was in me said and promised I would follow God. And when the time came, when there was a real decision to be made, I failed. But God said, that's not the failure. That's just the stress point. Well, what I can do is I can rebuild your life. And I can rebuild your life and I can replace those parts within you that failed under pressure. And we can put in new parts that won't fail under pressure. Because now you know where you failed. That's fine. Because if we work on those parts, the next time that comes, they're not going to fail. And that should be our example. Not to be a zero-octane believer like Cain. It's like one little failure. You want to make changes in me? You don't like how I built my engine? Well, I'm just going to go my own way and I'm going to lash out against anyone that I want to lash out against, including God. Or do we want to be like Peter who says, you know, I don't understand it. I want to follow you, but I find I can't. I want to be the person that would die with you, but I find I can't be. I want to be the person that would lay down my life. But when the time came, I couldn't. But I still have that desire to follow you. Oh Lord, help me. Change me. Let your Holy Spirit come in me. And that's really where Peter got rebuilt on the inside. The engine got rebuilt. And then he started walking in a new way of life. Because we know that God tested Jesus Christ. He tested him in the desert. And Satan came and said, hey, I can give you an easy way. But he didn't misfire. He tested him through his life with his debates and his arguments with the Pharisees. And they brought unto him a woman caught in adultery. He says, Moses says this. And they brought their wisest people to Jesus to try and trap him in their word. But he didn't misfire once. Okay? Not on the cross when he was bearing the sins of the whole world on his shoulder. Totally separated from God. And he said, don't you think if I asked, I could call a legion, 10 legions of angels to come and deliver me? But if I do that, the engine will misfire. And it will be destroyed. But God set him up in a way and built him in a way because he was God made flesh and said, this is my perfect engine. Into this engine I can put my 100-octane fuel that will never misfire under pressure. And once he'd built that, he said, okay. Now, when an engineer is building something, they have their different versions of it. So you have your first version, you test that, your second version, your third version. And eventually you get your final version that you say, this is the production model. And then because engineers are human, it goes into production and they find 5 or 6 more faults that are the cause of recalls throughout the lifetime of the vehicle. But at least they've got to that production stage. Okay? And what they do is when they find something's wrong and they change it, then they can recall all the other engines and they can put the change into that other engine. You know what I mean. Okay. So Jesus was the first production model Christian. Okay. And God said, okay, this is going to be really easy. All right. Who wants to be a production model Christian? I guess I'm just the only one. Now, there are a few others out there. All right? It's going to be easy. If you're driving down the road and you think you're a production model Christian, all right, and you have a little problem with your engine and it blows up, bring it back to the factory. And we'll replace a few parts with the production parts. And that's what Jesus said. That's what the Bible says. There is now no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus who walk in the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? So it's just a matter of replacing the production model human spirit with the production model Holy Spirit. And now you're in a place where your engine won't misfire. And the fuel that you're using won't misfire. And there won't be any explosions in your life. And your engine won't fall to pieces. Because we're made in the image of Christ by the Holy Spirit coming and being in us. So we can have His Spirit, so we can bear the pressure and only fire at the right time. And this is what happened to Peter. For all his desire to follow Jesus, for all his willingness and commitment to say, don't just wash my feet, wash my whole body. I love that, you know. Like, no, Peter, you don't understand. I just need to wash your feet. Like, please wash me all. No, just the feet. Okay? That's your enthusiasm. But this is symbolism. And I'm going to show you what it means. For all that enthusiasm, he couldn't reach the mark. But when the Holy Spirit came, now the very life of Jesus could live inside of Peter and match up those desires that he had to the situation that he was in, so he wouldn't explode under pressure, so he could give his life. And so I ask you tonight, what is your desire to be a Christian? How do you want to, what kind of Christian do you want to be? Are you falling short of the kind of Christian you want to be? Are you misfiring? Are you exploding? Is your engine knocking? Do you not get the power in your life, the output in life that you want? Well, there's a solution. You need to go back and you need to say, okay, obviously there are some parts in my engine that need to be replaced with the standard Christian production model parts. That's called the Holy Spirit. And that is perfectly engineered to withstand the pressures of this life. And so if I can't withstand the pressures of this life, that just means we have an engineer who's going to rebuild us with the production model version and give us, okay, let's talk for a minute about, you can have 50 octane rating fuel. Actually, if you ever see that, don't put it in your car, okay? But you're going to say, let's just say that's going to misfire 50% of the time. Oh, it might be good enough for certain kinds of motors. You won't want to put it in your car. If you have a nice, let's say a high-end BMW with a really nice German-made engine, okay, you might have to, if you put 87 in that car, you might have issues with knocking with your engine because you put in a fuel that is not tuned, the engine isn't tuned to that fuel. Okay? So, what am I trying to say here is, we also have, how much of your human spirit are you mixing with the Holy Spirit that even if the engineering's right, that human spirit mixed with the Holy Spirit is causing the explosion. We need to get to 100% Holy Spirit thoughts and fuels. Okay? Because if you're 50% living in this life and 50% living in the Holy Spirit, that's wonderful. At least you're living in the Holy Spirit 50% of the time. Good. Don't be like, oh, I'm giving up. Be like, I'm pressing on. Let's say, Lord, help me lose that 50% that I'm walking in my flesh and walking in my own thoughts and exploding and misfiring and knocking things to pieces and damaging pieces. Who wants to be by an engine that explodes? Not me. The power that's... I mean, okay. Who wants to be beside a person that explodes? Yeah, not me. Not my kids, you should ask them. Sometimes I'm a bit explosive. It's true. But when I explode, it's not the Holy Spirit that's making me explode. Okay? And it's an indication that I need to say, I'm sorry. That was wrong. That was my flesh. And an indication to me that I found a place that failed under stress, that missed time, that damaged not just me, but the people around me. Lord, help me to make that right. Okay? I love this. God is rebuilding us and testing us and rebuilding us so we can be more robust, so we can be more powerful, so the word that he gives to us will go out and achieve the things that he sent us out to do. Because he doesn't give us power so we can just, you know, sit at the corner and do donuts and make tire smoke come out and do wheelies. And he gives it so we can move places, do things according to his will. All right? 1 John chapter 2. We're on a journey here, and we need the power of God. And we need the power of God firing correctly all the time. We need a true high-octane religion, and we need a true engine that's tuned by Jesus Christ. All right? And this is what I'm saying here. Right? That there is a place that we can go to that we will never misfire, and it's Jesus Christ. Verse 5 of chapter 1 says, "This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And this is the thing that God stress tests us for. Because you can say, I have no sin. Okay? Sincerely, genuinely, as a Christian. All right? Not, I have no sin at all, but I have no sin in this area. And God may say, how's your temper, Derek? Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord, my temper is under control. And God says, you know what? I think there's some microscopic cracks in your temper valve. We're going to have to test that to see if it explodes. Let's put you into a situation. It's like, Lord, what did I do? Did I sin? No, you didn't sin. I just have to stress test it. Okay? And then explosion. It's like, oh my goodness. Okay, Lord, how's your temper, Derek? Still needs work. Lord, help me. Right? So that's what he does. He puts us under these situations so we can not be deceived about the true state of ourselves. Okay? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But even if we say that, God is going to bring the truth to us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the re-engineering process through his Holy Spirit. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So if you have a brother or sister, a friend, a neighbor, who is undergoing a tremendous amount of stress, misfiring, damaging themselves and those around them, you know what? Have a little sympathy for them. They're undergoing a stress test. Pray for them. Come alongside them and support them. Okay? Because that's going to be you next week. You know what I mean? The Lord's going to put you through some kind of test, and someone's going to look at you and be like, oh my goodness, why are you doing that? Can't you see how demented that is? And you're like, this is just me normal. And then God says, well, hold on a second. Let's just put the gas down a little more, and then there's an explosion. You're like, wait a second, me normal means explosion, so it's obviously me normal isn't the Holy Spirit, at least in that area. Lord, re-engineer me. Let me come back to the factory. Factory recall on Derek's temper. Need some Holy Spirit temper in it. Okay? That's where we're trying to head to. To be the people that don't misfire under pressure. To be the people that all the energy of the explosion goes to the right place. Not to destroying, but to where God wants it. To drive the word of God forward and not to cause explosions and damage people. And then when we can do that, we'll have a true, tried and tested, high-octane religion. And that's what the Lord put on my heart for today. And I trust that it was a blessing for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your love and your blessings for us. Thank you that you watch over us, and despite our failings and our frailties, you're the great engineer looking for those points of failure so that we can be made into the image of Christ. Help us to recognize them sooner, Lord, and to replace them sooner. But even if we don't, Lord, help us to be patient with other people, be patient with ourselves as we go through this. Teach us about ourselves, Lord. What areas do you need to have your Holy Spirit come in and replace? Help us to be humble and willing, Lord, like Sarah was, rather than arrogant and proud like Cain was. And help us, Lord, to let our testimony be that he had a true high-octane religion and only fired and only put out the power of God on the command of God and for the purpose of God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. We thank you for them. Amen. I want God's way to be my way as I journey here below. For there is no other highway that the child of God should know. Though the way be steep and rough, if he leads me, that's enough. I want God's way to be my way every day. Give us a less horrible key for that. I want God's way to be my way as I journey here below. For there is no other highway that the child of God should know. Though the way be steep and rough, if he leads me, that's enough. I want God's way to be my way every day. Amen. Brother Greg, are you taking the communion service? So, why don't you come on up? Do we have the lapel mic? There is no other highway that a child of God should know. Though the way be steep and rough, if he leads me, that's enough. I want God's way to be my way every day.
enjoy that? Yeah, I got a living example, Brother Derek, even today.
I got a call from my manager down in Dallas about this large company's cluster, dual cluster. They've been working on it since 2 o'clock yesterday and all through the night. Would you please get in? And of course, I'm thinking getting ready for church and everything like that. I says, oh boy, here we go. So I went in and I was telling Karen about it. And just about that time, my youngest one, Timothy, comes in with an issue. And I turned to him and his eyes got real big like that. And he started turning sideways, right? And I says, Timothy, come here. And I gave him a hug. I'm sorry, sweetheart. I'm under stress. And I forgive you. What do you have need of? You know, and so we were able to deal with his need, just realize it, just something just kind of rose up within me, and then just like that, just settle down. And just with this knowledge that God is in control of every situation, no matter what it is, and we don't know what we're confronted with at all. And it just allowed me a chance to just to bow my head and just spend some time with the Lord and just say, Lord, you are in control of all things, and you've got a purpose. Nothing happens by chance. You've got a purpose in this. And even Brother Nate texted me, and just testimony, praise the Lord. You know, this happens. I told him, says, oh, no, right? He's in IT. He understands. I said, praise the Lord for God's glory. Amen. And it's not fixed yet. It sounded like it was already fixed. In God's mind, it was, but amen. And we got through it, and thank the Lord, and we're able to make it here a little late, but we made it. And so, yeah, the Lord does put us through these stress things, and it is all for a purpose, and He is refining our character. You know what Brother Branham said about character, right? It's not a gift, right? It's a victory. Yeah, and He keeps putting us in different things. And after a while, you say, I've been through that already, right? Piece of cake, or it's okay, regardless, we're going to get through it just like He's always brought us through. Amen. To God be the glory. So appreciate that, Brother Derek. Thank you so much. Amen. And then faith conquers every circumstance, and the Lord will continue to put us in those circumstances. If you want to follow along, 1 Corinthians chapter 11.